To Iran now, where more than 50 people have died in a stampede during the funeral procession for General Qasem Soleimani. Meanwhile, US Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has defended the drone strike which killed Iran's top general, saying the US acted because of an imminent but unspecified threat. European leaders are meeting today to discuss the brewing crisis in Iran, which has prompted Britain to withdraw non-essential staff from its embassies in Iran and Iraq. UK Defence Secretary Ben Wallace has told the House of Commons that General Soleimani was no friend of the UK or its allies.
He was not an advocate of a more peaceful and prosperous Middle East. His clandestine operations saw him supply weaponry to proxy forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. He encouraged proxies to develop weapons such as improvised explosive devices that killed and maimed UK soldiers and other Western forces.
That's the UK's Defence Secretary, Ben Wallace. Julian Barnes-Darcy is the Director of the Middle East and North Africa Programme at the European Council on Foreign Relations. And he joins us now from Brussels to dig deeper into the UK's response. Julian, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning.
The UK Foreign Secretary, Dominic Raab, has been reportedly meeting with his counterparts from France and Germany today. What do you expect they've been discussing?
Well, I think the Europeans are now very concerned about the prospect of further escalation in the Middle East. Obviously, the prospect of further instability, conflict, terrorism, refugees, this all affects Europe quite fundamentally. But at the same time, they're wary and uncertain about where the Americans are going next. I think Trump's decision to take out Soleimani came out of nowhere. The Europeans are clearly not closely allied with the Iranians, and they're trying to find a role for themselves in the midst of this broader conflict that could move to even more explosive levels. And I think they're struggling, to be honest, to find their place.
Dominic Raab said that the UK was sympathetic to the US's course of action. Do you feel that France and Germany feel the same way?
I think fundamentally none of these European states are going to pick a fight with the Americans over this decision. I don't think any of them agreed with or were happy with the decision to take out Soleimani. I think there's a widespread perception that it was a rash decision that really could push the region into further instability, but they don't want to alienate the Americans. They're not close to the Iranians. And so I think that leaves them trying to navigate this careful balance where they want to get the Iranians to moderate their behavior, but they're not prepared to criticize the Americans, who in a sense instigated both this latest incident, but of course set in motion a whole chain of escalation from the day that they withdrew from the Iranian nuclear deal and through the course of a maximum pressure campaign against Iran that has culminated in this attack.
Yeah, I did find Dominic Raab's language quite interesting, where he said he was sympathetic to the US's course of action. It does seem to fall well short of saying they were fully supportive.
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of hesitation and a lot of wariness about what the Americans have done. But, you know, particularly from a UK perspective, given Brexit, given the desire to strike a trade deal with the Americans, they're absolutely not going to come out and criticize what Trump has done.
And what do you make of the British decision to remove staff from embassies in Iran and Iraq? How significant is that?
Well, I mean, it reflects how potentially dangerous the situation is. There's a real concern that there is a degree of Iranian retaliation coming, and that it might not just target Americans, it could target Westerners at large. Whether the Brits losing some people in Iran or Iraq is really going to make a material difference, I'm not so sure. The UK is not playing a decisive role on the ground in either country. But it's symbolic of the wariness, of the worry, of the concern, and it's symbolic of this gap that is growing ever wider between Iran and not just the Americans, but also the Europeans, who have been at the forefront of trying to safeguard the nuclear deal and try and open up some paths towards de-escalation.
The UK's Defence Secretary Ben Wallace has said that the UK now has helicopters and ships on standby in the region. What does that actually mean?
Well, I think everyone is concerned that you could see some form of military action on the part of the Iranians, that that could involve targeting of American or Western assets. And I think that's as much as anything an attempt by the UK government to signal that it can play a role, that it's prepared, that it's ready to respond. Ultimately, I don't think those helicopters or ships are going to be too important a factor in the thinking of either Tehran or Washington D.C. is they plan what comes ahead, but the Brits are signalling that they are there and are ready to respond to whatever happens.
Yeah, the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson really seems to be, I guess, stuck between two ambitions here. I mean, staying close to the US, especially as they try and negotiate a good trade deal. But also, Johnson personally was very committed to the nuclear deal with Iran. So how tricky is it for countries like the UK and other European nations to walk that tightrope?
It's proven incredibly difficult, and you know, these efforts have really been led by President Macron of France, who has really put a lot of effort into trying to both keep Trump close, but also to open up a pathway towards preserving the nuclear deal, and he has not proved successful. Trump and the Iranians have continued to block his efforts, and I think Johnson is in a similar place. He has a closer personal relationship, arguably, than Macron with Trump, and there's some hope that perhaps he might leverage that, use that to try and push forward some more gentle pressure to get Trump to move towards what is perceived as a necessarily more reasonable place in terms of the nuclear deal and other elements. But increasingly people see that this is really about the Iranians and the Americans locked in a direct confrontation, and until they're prepared to enter negotiations with each other, there's very little that the Europeans can do to unlock that.
Do you really think that if Boris Johnson or other European leaders didn't back Trump on his attack on Soleimani, that Trump would really punish them in a trade deal?
I suspect absolutely. I think that's the very nature of the Trump manner of doing politics. You're with me or against me, and those that are against me will be punished. And I think Trump knows that he has leverage over Johnson and the UK government at this moment. He wants to exploit that, and any sense of criticism or slight from the UK side will be met, like it always is from Trump, with pushback in a very aggressive and vindictive fashion.
Boris Johnson has a better relationship with Donald Trump than some of the other foreign leaders. I think you could safely say he has a better relationship than a Emmanuel Macron. But could he actually use that in any way to influence Donald Trump to help de-escalate tensions with Iran?
Well, I think the paradox of this situation is that Trump desperately wants a deal with Iran. He ripped up the nuclear deal in pursuit of a better deal, so to speak, but really a different deal from his predecessor, President Obama. And he wants something that has his mark upon it, that he can show to the world and say, look, this is my deal. So even after the attack on Soleimani, he hinted again at the need for negotiation, that brought the desire for a deal with Iran. And I think the question is whether the Europeans, people like Johnson and Macron, can try and bring those two sides together. The Americans are not talking to the Iranians and vice versa. The things are escalating. Macron put a lot of effort and came very close last year to constructing that deal whereby both sides would get what they wanted. And if there's going to be an avenue to de-escalate and to try and move things forward in a better fashion, I think the UK and other Europeans could potentially play an interesting role. And Johnston, because of his relationship with Trump, can perhaps whisper in his ear, can perhaps create circumstances that Trump might be willing to move into. But of course, as ever with Trump, it's full of uncertainty. There isn't a real sense of a strategy towards Iran. It seems to be all over the place. And I think for that reason, the Europeans find themselves somewhat lost as they try and navigate not just the Iran-Trump dynamic, but purely the Trump dynamic. Where is he today?
Yeah, now, Julian Barnes, Darcy, as you've been eloquently explaining, there's a lot of big picture geopolitical and trade factors going on here, but there also are human lives, not just the people killed in the stampede overnight, but also foreign nationals who are locked up in Iran. There's an Australian. The UK is also working on the release of one of their citizens. That's the British Iranian woman, Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe. How will the UK navigate that situation in amongst all these bigger political factors?
I think the fear for those that are locked in prisons in Tehran and their families is that they are going to be left behind as the kind of broad geopolitical dynamics engulf this situation. I think it does become harder and harder to concentrate focus and attention on getting these people out, given everything else that is going on and the sense that one needs to focus on preventing a wider conflict between the Americans and the Iranians. All that being said, there were some hints coming out today even that the French may have succeeded in getting one of their academics who's been in prison in Iran released as part of an ongoing dialogue between President Rouhani, the Iranian president, and President Macron. So wow. There is some space there. You know, it's a question of I think continued pressure, continued engagement, continuing to keep a focus and a light on these critical people and issues, even as the broader dynamics concentrate attention elsewhere.
So much at play there. Julian, thank you so much for joining us on RN Breakfast this morning.
Thank you.
Julian Barnes-Darcy, he's the director of the Middle East and North Africa program at the European Council on Foreign Relations.